I have an amazing, amazing privilege to introduce to you our special speaker. De Havilland and William Ford have been with us a few times now. De Havilland's first time up here in Cleveland with us. But we are blessed by their ministry. We feel an intense heart connection with them. My son Dominic got to know him while he was down at Christ for the Nations and just speaks so highly and really honors who he is and what he's done. And De Havilland has served with International House of Prayer as a staff member there. She's called as an intercessor, walks in the prophetic, and just has a passion for revival and evangelism. That's a lot right there. But you carry it. You walk in it so profoundly. And I've been blessed to just get to know her a little bit, and you all are going to be so blessed by who she is and what she has to speak over you. I was praying this morning for all of you, and I felt like God was going to lay a heavy calling on some lives in here. Like, you knew about it before, but it was just going to become heavier on you, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. I believe God's doing that on purpose. So I just want you to welcome De Havilland as she comes and blesses us with the word of God, and take this as an opportunity to receive a prophetic word into your life. Okay, so please stand with me as we welcome her to the stage.
That was so beautiful. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. I'm so honored to be here this morning. I just feel the Holy Spirit. How many of you feel the presence of God? The Lord is already here. So what I'm going to do is just partner with what God is already doing. And that's the beautiful thing about speaking. You just get to partner in this divine dance with God. We call it a divine dance. So before I share a little bit about myself and my husband and what I want to speak, I just want to pray just a little bit more, because I believe there's levels. How many of you believe there's, we go from glory to glory? And I think sometimes we're here and God's wanting to take us so much higher. And so, Lord, right now we just place our hands on, can you just place your hands on your heart? We just lay aside every distraction. Lord, we lay aside even the things we think we know. We just put it at the door. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to put a bomb under our seat. We invite you to mess up the things that we think we know. We invite your Holy Spirit to arrest this room, that you would arrest our affections from the youngest to the oldest, and you would set us in alignment with what you want to do in this city and in this house, and may I say, in the nations of this earth. Amen. You know, I love that this place is so diverse. It's like one big ice cream factory. You got chocolate and vanilla, and it's a beautiful mixture of what God is doing. And you guys are a model of what God is ready, what God is wanting to do globally. So even in this little place, don't take it lightly that you can come into a church and see so much culture. And I believe that we're going to see the nations here. I even see that flags all along the walls, because we're going to see different nations coming in. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my journey and my story before I get into my message. How many of you love people's testimonies? The Bible says that the testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Isn't that beautiful? So me and my husband, we serve at Christ for the Nations. It's a Bible school in Dallas. We have about 1,000 students, a lot of internationals. People come from all over the world. My husband leads the marketplace major. Students that really want to learn how to get into the 9-to-5. And just, you know, we always see the church is just the pulpit ministry, but God's shifting it. God's using people in government and education and media and Hollywood. So we're getting to raise up and train this generation to take God out into the marketplace. So we do that at Christ for the Nations, but more than that, we have a ministry that's dedicated to seeing unity through diversity in the body of Christ. We cannot have a revival like we want to see in the nation if the church is disunified. It's going to be the only thing that can heal a divided nation is a united church. Let me say that again. The only thing that can heal a divided nation is a united church. So my husband and I, our main message is unifying the one new man. There's no wall. You know, Jew and Gentile, God is calling us together as one. So that's what we do there at Christ for the Nations. But a little bit about myself and my story. My name is actually De Havilland. I was born, my mom was, she actually was on drugs when I was born. She was on crack cocaine. So I was born, I was a 2-pounder, and I was in the hospital and incubator, but my mom named me Angela. How many of you love when God changes your name, right? So my mom names me Angela Cornish, but because of the drugs and just the situation, I had to go into foster care. How many of you have foster kids, right? The foster care system can be something else. It can be a beautiful thing. So I went into foster care, and I had my name changed. Now, we see all throughout the scripture where God changes people's names. He takes, Saul, and he changes them to Paul. He takes Jacob, and he changes his name to Israel. So I'm about to go through a name change by God, and then I'll get into my message because it has so much to do with what I'm going to share on. So I'm Angela Cornish, and then at the age of 7, I went into a foster home with a young man in his family. The guy's name is Chris Rock. He's a famous comedian. His mom said, well, I really want to have little girls. So, because at that time they had all boys in their home. So she said, I'll take these 3 little girls, me and my sister. She said, but this one, I'm going to change her name. I'm going to take her name from Angela Cornish to Angela Rock. So I'm like, okay, that's okay. I can handle that. But then at the age of 9, finally she goes, I don't want little girls anymore. I think I'll just, because in foster care, you can change kids like you change clothes in a sense. But it wasn't a bad thing. It was all a part of God's plan. So we went back into the foster care system. And finally, at the age of 9, my adopted mom comes along. She goes, I think I'm going to change her name. Talk about an identity crisis. Talk about going, who am I? What am I doing on this earth? Massive identity crisis. She goes, I'm going to change your name to De Havilland. I go, what is that? Who is that? Where that name came from? So she changes my name to De Havilland. And at this point, half the time people didn't know how to say it. They didn't, I'd be the girl in school. They're trying to go, De what? It was kind of one of those things. But later on in life, and I'm going to fast forward. Later on in life, I end up getting saved. I give my life to Jesus. And the Lord asks me a question. He says, who do you think named you? And anytime God asks you something, he already knows the answer. So I know he wasn't asking me as if he didn't know. I said, well, of course you named me, God. And he goes, I'm going to take you on a prophetic journey to show you not only did I name you, but I framed your life. Because I believe right now in this generation, there's this void. There's a generation shouting to the church, tell me who I am. They're searching for spiritual identity. They're searching to be named by God, not by the social media, not by CNN, not by what's happening in the world. They're saying, can someone tell me who I am? So I had to go through that journey. So later on, I was in Israel. I got saved. I became a evangelist and a missionary. And I just was one of those, I'm all in for God, not half-hearted Christianity, but I'm going to go all the way. So the Lord sends me to Israel. And as I'm there, I meet a rabbi. And he says, young lady, do you know your names in the Bible? And he says, look up Genesis chapter 1. And he shows me Havilah. The name actually is the place where the gold comes from. And so the Lord said, I'm cluing you in that I'm speaking to you about your name. While I'm in Israel, or even later on, I meet a pilot. And he says, young lady, do you know God named you? He goes, your name is actually a plane. And he begins to tell me the name of the backdrop of this plane. And I'm going to tell you this really quick and get into my message. He says, during World War II, they came up with a design for a plane called the De Havilland Bomber. But when they went to make the plane, the Defense Department did not believe in its design. So they refused to give metal to make their plane and said they gave them wood and say, here, take this. If you can do something with it, great. Well, they went on to build this plane, and it became one of the fastest planes in the World War II. It was called the De Havilland Bomber, the Wooden Wonder. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, De Havilland, not only did I name you, but I framed you, and I saved you through the wood of my cross. It was given wood. And he said, I saved you through the wood of my cross so that you can fly on the heights with me. And when men did not believe in your design, I did. And I think that I'm standing here as a prophetic sign to the church and to you in this room. There are people in this earth right now that God is going to arrest in this generation and name them and frame them, from crack babies to people in Hollywood, and say, you are mine. You don't belong to this earth, but you belong to me. And suddenly God began to make sense of my little life. Suddenly the mom being a crack addict and all that I had to go through in the foster care system made a whole lot of sense. And God said, you are mine. So today, and not only did he do that, and do you guys want to hear one more story about my name? So he says this to me, and I'm going, wow, de Havilland's a plane? You mean I get to fly with God? How many of you want to fly with God? That's beautiful. So it begins to get more intense. A young lady in a different city doesn't know me. She gets my name in a dream. How many of you believe God gives dreams? In this dream, because a lot of the work me and my husband do is for the ending of abortion. Because in America, we have 50 million babies that has been aborted in this nation, and our nation is stained with blood. So in this dream, she gets my name in the dream. She doesn't know me. I don't know her. But the Lord speaks to her and says, de Havilland Brown, I want to use her to help end abortion. And she goes, who and what is that? So she looks at this newly invented thing called Google, and up pops my name. She finds me through Facebook, and she calls me, and she tells me the dream. So God not only named you, but he knows your destiny. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're longing for. He knows the cries of your heart. He's no respecter of person. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. And that's what I want to get into my message. I want to talk about this generation. You know, the church is supposed to be the framework that God uses to name people. Not the world statistics, not the stats, not what the latest polls are saying, but the Bible is the compass. And this body is supposed to be the house that people come in and they're given a new name by God. So the Lord speaks to me through this. And today I want to talk about a man named Elijah. A man named Elijah. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up. We all know the story, 1 Kings 19. Because you cannot, Elisha, and I'm going to get into my message here, Elisha could not have been called out if there was not an Elijah. I could have not been named if there wasn't spiritual leaders around me to give me identity. So I'm going to talk to two camps today. I'm going to talk to the older saints in this house, and I want to talk to the younger saints, because God wants to use you guys together as one. He's calling some of the older saints to begin to mentor and raise up the next generation, because we need what you have. So here we see in 1 Kings 19, the prophet Elijah. How many of you know the story? Jezebel has taken out the prophet. Here we have Elijah the prophet. I mean, he was the man of the hour. He was hiding in a cave because he was afraid for his life. He was running from the spirit Jezebel. And God comes and he finds Elijah. He finds him. Yeah, Jezebel. She was taking out all the prophets with the sword. So he's hiding in this cave. And God comes to him and he says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I almost think that verse there, okay. So Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. So Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. So Jezebel plots to take this man out. So he goes and he hides in this cave because he's basically scared he's going to die. How many of you know the church in America is hiding in a cave right now? Because we're hearing the reports that the church is no longer relevant. She's lost her voice. She doesn't have a place in society. She's not anointed enough to deal with the current crisis of racism. She's not anointed enough to deal with the drug addiction, the poverty, the human trafficking, the abortion. So she represents, Elijah represents the end time church. She's over here. He's over here hiding for his life. And God comes to this prophet, a friend of God, and says, what are you doing here? And I almost think the Lord is saying to the church in the West, what are you doing here? Have you not been given the blood of my covenant? Have you not been given the better blood? Elijah didn't even have Jesus at that time. What are you doing here? Why are you hiding in a cave when I've called you to go and anoint Elisha? Go and anoint Elisha. Sorry if some of the verses are a little bit off here. So he tells him to come out. Basically, he's saying, do you not know there's 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal? Do you not know that there's a generation that I've actually set apart for such a time as this? Go and anoint Elisha. Right? So he tells them that. So he has to go. Now back then, whenever you would anoint someone, nowadays, if I were going to anoint you, what do? We take a little bit of oil and we pop it on someone's head and we say, you're anointed, right? You know, and nowadays we don't even use anointing oil. We use like Crisco or something, olive oil from the kitchen, coconut oil, pop, you're anointed. But back then, when they were going to anoint the high priest, they would take this huge flask, this horn, and they would fill it with oil, and they would pour it all over the priest. And the oil would drip down from the head to the beard and onto the robe. But then that high priest would take that same robe and they would pass it on to the next high priest. And that oil would mingle. They would take this another flask of oil and it would mingle on the robe of that high priest. And then that same robe would be passed on to the next high priest because there's supposed to be a momentum building anointing throughout the generations. So when he tells Elisha to go and anoint Elisha, we see Elisha just kind of, I'm just going to tell you the story. Elisha is just hanging out cooking dinner for his family. Maybe he's playing basketball. Maybe he's at Barnes & Nobles. Maybe he's at Starbucks. What do young people like to do, right? And this old prophet comes and he throws his mantle onto him. How many of you are throwing mantles onto the next generation? That there's something you have that they need. So this prophet takes it and he throws it, and suddenly this man, I don't know his age at the time, his whole life is interrupted. He goes from cooking for his family to following this wild, crazy prophet. Suddenly his whole life is interrupted. And I think right now we need to be interrupted in the body of Christ. I think we need to be shaken out of our comfort of this Christianity that everything has to go my way. I think the Lord is trying to shake the church. I think the protests and the things we're seeing in the nation, it's not so much an invitation to the world as it is to the church. I think the Lord is allowing divine frustration so that we can wake up to our callings, so that we can wake up. Let me tell you something. We have not lost our voice. I don't care some of the foolishness we see in the pulpits where people call holy, unholy. You know, we kind of play games in the church. God still has a plan. So this little kid, you know, whatever. I say little kid because I'm speaking to some of the young people. He's doing his thing. And he has to discern he's in a moment. Young people, look at me. Young adults, listen to me. You're in a moment. You're not just made to have a good career, get the American dream. You're made to love God and be loved by God and make God known in the earth. If you're breathing in this room, whether you like it or not, you're alive. And God wants to name you today. God wants to give you a new name. God is not boring. We are. Listen to me, church, and I don't mean that in an insensitive. God is better than any movie. He's better than Lord of the Rings. He's better than, think about your favorite movie. He's exhilarating. He's exciting. All this stuff about God is boring. God is not boring. He's the creator of the universe. I think the church has become boring. God is exciting. He's a wild lover. And he wants to invite us on this wild journey. Doesn't matter your race, your age, your background, your status. He wants us to get into this new vehicle with him. God is not boring. You know what's boring? Social media is boring. You know what's boring? CNN is boring. It's getting boring. It's time for the good news to go global. How many of you would agree that we need to be shaken in America? And I'm not angry. I'm not angry, I promise. I'm just passionate because I believe that it's time. So Elijah goes, he throws the coat, and this young kid is about to follow him. This man is about to follow him. For all the theologians in the room, like, oh my God. Okay. And about the scriptures too. So, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Before I go there, let me just say this. So you pass down the robe. He says, go and anoint him. Do you know Elisha's name? Elisha's name means the God who saves. So he's basically going, Elisha is a sign that the God who saves is still alive in Israel. So he's basically going to find this young man, this man who has this name, almost to say to Israel, do you not know God is alive? Do you not know that God is alive? God is not dead. So he literally picks the person that actually is a very sign of God's nature. God is alive. And he says, come with me. So what happens? He begins to follow the prophet. His battles, Elisha's battle, become Elisha's battle. They begin to do life together. God is calling us to bridge the generations till we begin to do life together. Versus being so afraid of each other. So have these mindsets of ideas and these precepts, these things that God wants to tear down. He's calling us to do life together. You know, if you look at a young person, you say, you know, I don't like the way they wear their pants. I'm not too happy about how they dress. Mentor them. Disciple them. And young people, be open to have someone speak into your life. I think as young adults, we think we know it all. And our parents and those who have gone before said, honey, you don't know anything. Because they've got some battle scars. They've got some battle scars. And they've got some things that if we'll listen to them, it'll save your life. It'll save your life, young adult. It'll save your life. Because what the enemy wants to do is devour you from the age of your youth. He wants to just devour you and try to frame you. Okay, let me give you an example about this. So me and my husband go in Hollywood. We do. We minister in Hollywood. We love. God is moving in Hollywood. But the very people that our generation is trying to mimic are the very ones spiritually begging for Jesus. Stephanie Germanotta, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is hungry right now for the revelation of Jesus. One of the people that worked with her was a drug addict who got saved. Lady Gaga sat in her dressing room and said, please tell me about what happened to you. And he just told her about Jesus for an hour. And I believe she just wept. She didn't give her life to Christ, but she was hungry and she's still asking the questions. Prince, the singer, he would study the scriptures and say, tell me about Jesus. Even to the point when he died, he was asking about Jesus. So let's not be fooled by what we see on TV. These people need the same living water that you have on the inside of you. I don't know why I'm hitting this so hard. I just have to obey the Lord. So Elisha, he follows him. They do life together. But suddenly, his spiritual father is about to be taken up in a whirlwind. He's going to be taken to heaven. He's going to be taken up. We see that in 2 Kings 2:2. And I pray to God for all my theologians. That's right. 2 Kings 2:2. He's in a time of transition. How many of you know we're in a time of transition in the nation? Did I get it right? Yay. So he's about to be taken up. And Elisha is begging him to, Elijah's saying, listen, I'm about to go into a whirlwind of glory. I'm better off. You stay here. But he's saying, no, I will not go until you bless me. I will not go until you bless me. He's hungry for the double portion of what his master is carrying. He's hungry in the middle of the transition. I believe right now we are in a season of transition of leadership. We're seeing it from the government down. It's fickling down. There's a changing of the guards, whether we like it or not. The change is happening. But instead of being offended at the change, we need to step into our own leadership roles. And we need to become who God's called us to be. So he's hungry for this double portion. So we see, we know what happens. Elijah's taken up. He says, if you're here when I'm gone, you know, you can receive the double portion. He's taken up. Elisha cries out, where's the God of Elijah? And he receives the double portion mantle on his life. We all love that. But I don't think this story is just to be a good story. I think this story is a prophetic picture of Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and Acts chapter 2, verse 16, where it says, when God says in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. I believe that Elisha was a sign of a prophetic generation that's coming. That's crying out in the last days, God says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. What we're contending for is an all flesh revival. An all flesh revival on your sons and your daughters. Is this good? Does it make sense? So he cries out for this double portion as a prototype of Joel in Acts 2:16. I'm hungry for the Acts 2:16 outpouring. But you know what? It doesn't just have to be on a global. It could start right in this little house. It could start right here in this church. If you're sick in your body, if you need, I mean, it could happen right here. So he's hungry. He's hungry. When he gets the double portion, here's what happens. He doesn't just get the, you know, I think sometimes we get our breakthroughs and, you know, it's like we wear these badges for everyone else to see, but it was all about the healing of the waters in Israel. So our breakthrough has to do with the healing around this city. It has to do with the healing around this city. 2 Kings 2:19, all the leaders, 2 Kings 2:19, all the leaders of the town of Jericho, so after Elijah's gone, Elisha gets the double portion, they come to Elisha, and they tell him that the town is located in pleasant surroundings, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. So they're basically coming to Elisha to say, you know what? We have pleasant surroundings, but the water around us is bad. And I think that's a picture. We can be in a nice church, in a beautiful building, and all around us people are dying. And all around us, the water is bad. But you know what they say? Elijah, we know the God that you serve. Can you heal these waters? So the next generation that we're asking to be mentored are the ones that I believe God is going to heal this nation. Some of our grandchildren, we're going to see it in them. Some of our children's children will be that promise that Jesus spoke of. I promise you that. Some of our children's children, do not grow weary at what you see. Some of our children's children, God will use to heal these waters. God will use them. He promised us that. And if God says it, he means it. God is going to do it in this generation. And if not in this generation, the generation coming. But why not be crazy enough to believe God for a breakout? We are seeing God move. Let me tell you this quick story. You know, everyone's so afraid of Muslims and ISIS and all this other stuff. God is saving and healing Muslims all over the earth. One of I want to call her my spiritual daughters. She was running from Islam. She was running, and I hope this part can't be recorded, but she was fleeing because her parents wanted to kill her. See, we don't experience this in the United States. We have all the freedoms, and we don't use it. But this young lady, her parents wanted to kill her for her faith. It was called honor killing. And she fled. She literally had to run to another state to get away from her parents, and it became a national news story. Became a national news story. Well, within the time of her being, her parents trying to kill her, and she got cancer. Great, my parents are killing me, trying to kill me, and I have cancer. Right? That's a lot. So her parents are trying to kill her. She's running, and it becomes national news. And it becomes national news, but she chose in her heart to not be angry and hate her parents. She refused to. She prayed for her parents. She fasted for her parents. And finally what happens is she just literally goes for broke. She goes all out. She serves the Lord with her whole heart. And it becomes such a case that it hit all people in the media were hearing her story. And eventually she had to cut off all communications from her family because what they wanted to do to her. But she became a sign. And she just spoke on the 700 Club the other day, and she wrote a book called Hiding in the Light. And she shares her story. The Lord actually healed her of cancer, sovereignly healed her of cancer. And now God's using her all over the earth. And the Lord said to me, because I watched her on the 700 Club, he said, De Havilland, she's the first fruit of what I'm doing in the Muslim community. Like, I want to save Muslims. I want to save them. I don't want you to be scared of them. I want you to love them. And I'm not saying we need to just, you know, open our borders and let crazy stuff happen. But I am saying we need to learn how to love our neighbor. Some of those waters, there are going to be people in those waters that we don't like, that may look different from us. And this precious young lady was one of those. But God healed. God healed that area. So God wants to heal the waters of racism. Don't you guys want to see racism healed? The devil is trying to resurrect this old wound and set us back. And God is trying to move us forward, because God promises he will unify his body. So God wants to release Elijah, the double portion on us, to heal the waters of racism. He wants to heal the waters of abortion and the mothers and the victims. God sends a curse on the land when there's shedding of innocent blood. And I believe that the days are numbered on the abortion issue. I believe that we're going to see Roe overturned. I believe we're actually starting to begin to see it in our nation. I believe God wants to break the back of sex trafficking right in our city. We have some waters, not just the big things, waters of bitterness right in our midst, in our families. We have some waters that God wants to heal. But before he does that, he needs us to get in our place. Some of you in this room are teachers. Some of you in this room are leaders and preachers and a call to business, to literally model holy anointed businesses. And I want to have someone just lead worship, because I would love to just pray with some of you. Some of you young people in this room, you're saying, you know what? It's been boring, but I want to be fascinated. I want to be fascinated. God called us to live in, and I'm not meaning void of suffering, but living the fascinated, enjoyable life in prayer and in God. This last 20 years has just been, even in the suffering, it's been so much glory. I've gotten to go to many nations and go into places like Mozambique with my spiritual mama, Heidi Baker, and watch God open deaf ears and see God move in these poor nations, and even see God move in America. God wants to blow the church, just blow the lid, take the lid off of the building. And it's not about being charismatic. It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen God use little six-year-olds preach the gospel, little six-year-olds in Mozambique opening blind eyes through the Holy Spirit. So it's not about a personality, or, you know, some people think, well, you know, you're African-American, you're loud, and you're a woman. Someone actually told me that once. They said, you know, you got three strikes against you. You're black, you're a woman, and you're young. He was actually one of my good friends. I said, oh, Dave, I'm going to get you for that one. But he said that. He goes, and I'm telling you, you can do it. Because what the world despises about you, God loves about you the most. So if you feel, I want to address three camps. If you feel like you're an Elijah, you're a spiritual, you know, some of my spiritual mentors, half my spiritual mentors were not my nationality. My spiritual mama, she's in heaven now. She's blonde hair and blue eyes. Jill Austin. She actually helped birth the charismatic movement in America. She worked with Benny Hinn and several of the, you know, back then. She just loved Holy Spirit. Heidi Baker. Some of my mentors are not even my skin color, because I submitted myself. I said, Lord, whatever it looks like. Right? So some of your spiritual children are not your nationality. Right? So Elijahs, if you feel like you're an Elijah and you're like, you're called, you know that you're called to disciple. Maybe it won't, you know, meet to mentor, whether it's in your, whatever your gifting is. You can just wave at me. If you know you're called, and maybe you don't know, but I think the Lord is starting to mark some of you. I think the Lord is starting to make, like this young man right here with the gray hair. Is it okay if I point you out? Can you just stand up? Because I just see the Lord resting on you. I've actually seen it since I came in. I feel like just this calling, I literally see the Lord resting on your shoulders. And I feel like the Lord is renaming you. He's putting you, I feel like there's a lot of questions with God right now, a lot of unanswered things that may have went a different way than what you thought. But I feel like you're coming into a season of restoration. Is this your wife? Can you guys just come up here? So what's going to happen is I'm just going to start prophesying over people because I feel like you've been such an intercessor and just kind of the one that's been kind of holding him together. But I feel like the Lord is saying he wants to lighten your load, that you're coming to a season even in your health and just some of the finances or things that have been troubling you. I feel like the Lord is saying he's beginning to lighten your load in this season. And even the fruit of your grandchildren, I feel like... Do you have grandchildren? Yeah, I feel like your grandchildren are going to walk in the promise and things that maybe you didn't pick up. There's something about legacy. I see you as a very tender man. I see you as one of a compassion, one of a heart. And even like Jesus, I feel like you have a heart that builds, like a carpenter, one that builds people up. You're called to build up the next generation. And so, Lord, we just thank you. Even the load. Can I get some of the men to just put your hands on his shoulder? I feel like the Lord is saying he's breaking through some of the load that's been on you. You've carried this weight. Does that make sense? And it's time to let go. It's time to let go. He's even breaking some old things that I don't know if it's what it is, but it's just been like a stronghold. The Lord is beginning to break. He's beginning to break. And I even felt the Lord say, with your shoes, he's giving you new shoes for a new season, even in business and ideas and things that God has positioned. He said he's called you like a general in the army. He's literally called you like a general. He's called you like a commander in chief. And but it's a season. I see eagles. I don't know if eagles mean anything to you, but it's a season. Do eagles mean something to him? I see all these eagles, eagles, eagles. I feel like the Lord calls you a seer. I feel like the Lord calls you his eagle, his watchman. There's like a watchman, the anointing on you. There's even something for China. I don't know what that's all about, but I feel like you're going to be able to export and import. There's something about not just in America. That's kind of wild. I don't know if you got that before, but I'm praying to that. There's something about intercession on you. So Lord, right now we just pray for this Elijah because you haven't seen yourself in this way. God is beginning to give you new eyes. I even feel like the Lord is saying, I'm giving you a new coat like Joseph. There's something business on you. Is it a business that you have? Does it involve cars or is it, what is it? Because there's something, well then, okay. So I just saw like...
It involves wood.
Okay, it is wood. So the carpenter thing, because I got the carpenter thing when I saw you in the beginning. So I feel like the Lord is saying he's given you a Joseph's anointing. You've had betrayals. Like there's been things that have just been like... arrows that the Lord is beginning to take off of you even now. And I feel like you're just one that's such a big giver. You have a heart to give, and you have a heart that you don't even totally understand, and things that have spoken over you even from your childhood. And so I just thank you, Lord, for this precious, beautiful, anointed couple. And you don't have to worry. I break off the spirit of worry. I break off the spirit of fear. The Lord has called you to be an intercessor. He's called you to be an intercessor, but he doesn't call you to carry false burdens. And so I even see you like a Mary, a Bethany. Like you've been washing the feet of Jesus for a really long time. You've been crying out. And just even in the scriptures, I see tears flooding. And the Lord said, this is a season of answered prayer. This is a season of answered prayer. So we just thank you. So can I get the Elijahs to stand up? The Elijahs, and you can just come up here. Because I just feel like there's something about the mothers in this house. I feel like there's something about the gatekeepers. And so one of the prophetic words that I got when I was on the way up here, I felt like there's something about Israel and praying for Zion. There's an anointing on the intercessors. Are you guys the intercessors? Okay. Yeah? Okay, so the Elijahs, all this way here. So if you can just raise your hand, I wonder how we're doing on time. If we can just, all the Elijahs, because these group, all these people right here, I feel like are going to lead in a way that's going to break strongholds in this house. If you can just raise your hands. Oh my God, there's so much. You are just carrying such a healing anointing. There's so much on you and your, is this your wife? There's so much. You've been faithful in the little. You've been one of the most faithful stewards. I feel like the Lord is saying you have literally been like a treasurer to the house of God. You have been a treasurer. You have kept the storehouse. You have kept the storehouse. You have kept the storehouse. And I see your treasure box in heaven and it's full. It's full. God says it's full. And I just thank you. It's like, oh Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. I just bless you guys. I bless you guys. I bless you guys. You are elders. You're elders. You're gatekeepers. God says you're gatekeepers. You're gatekeepers. And Lord, I just pray strength. You have a strong health. I just thank God for longevity. I feel like the Lord is saying that no sickness, no disease will be able to stand in your midst, that you're going to live long. There's an anointing on you for longevity. There's an anointing on you for long life and new breathing. Like even now, the Lord is strengthening your body. And so, Lord, we just thank you for these Elijahs. Well done. And I do see that mentoring. I do see you're a man of principle. You're a man of integrity. You're a man of the word. And you don't see through eyes of guile. You have purity in your eyes. And you see people the way God sees them, from the little boy on the corner to the rich man. There's such a purity on you. And God's going to honor, like Simeon. You're like a Simeon and an Anna. And so I just bless that, Lord, in Jesus' name. More, Lord. Spirit of prophecy. Do you have a son or children? Is it a son? Two sons? Is he walking in his full destiny? Okay, so Lord, we just pray for him that he would carry all that you have, that he will carry out his assignment in Jesus' name. More, Lord. Can we just play a little louder? Lord, we just bless. We speak healing right now to the Elijahs. We speak healing over the body in Jesus' name. Mary of Bethany. Lord, we thank you for this faithful woman. We thank you. I feel like you have a healing anointing as much as, like, I don't know what's going on in your own body, but we just want to pray divine health over you and strength over you, because you're called. There's a healing gift. I even see you going into hospitals. I don't know if you do that now. Yeah, I see you going into hospitals and hospice and bringing, the Lord calls you a life giver. You have an anointing to bring, huh? Yeah, loving. Your new name. Look at that. But there's also an anointing of life. I literally see water coming out of your feet. And God's going to use you with Catholics. God's going to use you with Presbyterians. God's going to use you with Baptists. You're going to literally merge streams together because you're carrying a healing mantle. But we just pray healing over your own body. Whatever's going on, we just speak divine health. We speak from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. More, Lord. More, more, more. Spirit of Elijah. And I feel like you're going to write. Do you write? I see you writing a book on healing prayers, or are you doing it now? Yeah. Yeah, you need to write your story, because in your story there's glory, and in your story other people are going to get set free. And the Lord is saying, I've given you the pen of a ready writer. And I see these little manuals kind of going into these hospitals and different places. And so I just bless you in Jesus' name. More, Lord. Is that okay? We're just going to prophesy a little bit more. More, Lord. Hey, guys, in the room, sometimes when preachers are prophesying, the congregation can check out because they feel like it's not for them. I may give a word and it may be for you. So if you can just stand up and engage. Let's just engage and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me? More, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit. These men in this church, these guys are no joke. They carry arsenal from heaven. Arsenal from heaven. More, Lord. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longeth after you, O God. That is your prayer. You are like a deer before the Lord, like a gazelle. God has called you to high places. I see you mountain ranging, going into higher heights, deeper depths, higher heights. And you're going to train men. You're going to train men. I see you training men. There's an anointing on you to teach men how to be men of God. There's an anointing on you. It kind of reminds me of Wilkerson. There's something about who you are. There's so much strength coming to you. Right now, we speak strength to you. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Morning. I don't know if you, do you do hunting or something? You deer? Is it deer? Deer hunting. Because the Lord compares you to a deer. He says, I've been hunting you for a long time. I watch you in the wilderness. I see you. The eyes of the Lord are on you like a deer. You're God's deer. I never heard that before, but I just see that you're like a deer to the Lord. God says, you are my deer. You are my deer. You are my delight. All my delight is in you. More, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. More for Tammy. So, Lord, we just pray for the Elijahs. We pray a double portion on them for the mothers in this house. Lord, we thank you for this one. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus. Such a heart of purity. Such a heart to see the kingdom purposes. God calls you his kingdom man. God calls you his steward, his kingdom man. More, Lord, I don't know what you do in this house, but you need to be, he needs to do something. Because you have so, it does, you have so much in you. He's, yeah, you're like, you can trust. God can trust you. God can trust you. Tell me your name. Stanley is God's friend. And so, Lord, I thank you. Stanley, you fought a long time. You've overcome a lot of battles, but you fought for people. And you're going to see the fruit of your labor. The Lord says you're going to see the fruit of your labor. You will see you're an intercessor, you're a prayer warrior, and you're going to see what you prayed for your family manifest. You're going to see what you prayed for your city, even sons and daughters that are lost. You're an evangelist at heart. You're going to see many brought into the kingdom. More, Lord. Is this your wife or friend? Your friend. So, Lord, we just bless you in Jesus' name. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord, more, Lord, more, 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 more. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We welcome you. Just lift your hands to Jesus. His presence is just so here. More for Sharon, Lord. More, Lord, more, more. You're a glory carrier. You enrich our glory carriers. Of God's glory. More, Lord. More, Lord. You've been waiting to see revival. You've been waiting to see revival, and revival is coming. Revival is coming, says the Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Guys, let's just lift up our hands to the Lord. Because there's so much more he wants to do, but we have such a short time. Can we just, guys, just keep pressing in, because I could prophesy over everyone, and But I really want to pray for young people. If you're like under the age of 20 and you're hungry, you're saying, I'm so sick of the normal Christianity. Just if you're just sick of playing, and I'm not trying to put you in your spot. You don't have to come up. The Holy Spirit can blow you up in your seat. Okay? He doesn't need me. But if that's you and you're just, because you know what, you guys? You're the ones that are going to carry the greatest revival the earth has ever seen before. I believe it with all my heart. If God could take a little crack baby, he can do it for you. So if that's you, just come up. No pressure. If you're saying, I'm so hungry, young people, or just raise your hand in your seat. Maya, oh, she's a prophet. More, Lord. Maya, just stay with me. Anybody else? Because I know there's more. I would call you out. Maybe you have a sweater on and it's blue, but I won't go there. Okay, Holy Spirit, we bless these young people with hunger. We pray for the gift of hunger. Hunger is a gift. Lord, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about knowing you and being known by you. I pray for these young people that the fire of the Holy Spirit would baptize them, Lord. I pray, God, for the fire of God. I break off a form of godliness that does not have power. More, Lord, let your fire come. Maya, I just see you singing. I don't know, but I feel like the Lord has called you to open up your mouth and worship. God calls you his worshiper. God calls you his worshiper. God calls you. He says, I set you apart even in your mother's womb. And you have a story. You have such a story. You have a beautiful story. And Lord, I pray just like me, you would raise Maya up, God. You would set her apart for your glory, Lord. And I feel like the Lord wants to heal you. Are those glasses prescribed? No? Is there something with your eyes at all? Okay, but I want to pray over your eyes. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, because I do feel like the Lord wants to heal your eyes so that you would see the way he sees, either it's yourself or you begin to see people the way he sees you. And so I just pray that you begin to see as the Lord sees. So right now, Lord, we just pray that Maya would have a revelation of how God sees her. God doesn't look down on you because of your youth. He calls you beautiful. He calls you lovely. You're gifted. I even see scholarships. I don't know what you want to do in your school, but I feel like the Lord's going to give you scholarships. You need to go beyond the limits with your education. Like, don't limit yourself. I even see sports. Like, God wants you to break out of just thinking you're going to only do this. Like, there's so much that God wants to do, and he wants to anoint your mind. And so you need to just go the way that he's calling you to go. Does that make sense to you? And so, Lord, we just bless Maya. There's more. There's more. There's someone else here. You know the Lord is calling you. Just wait. Wave your hand. I'm going to wait. There she goes. She's so beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Who's this princess? Oh, my God. Gianna, I want to take you back to Texas. Thank you. Thank you for Gianna. Oh, Jesus. Can we just stretch our hands to Gianna? Lord, we just thank you right now. The Holy Spirit is just going to come and rest on you. He's just resting on you. Even from the time you were in your mother's womb, he called you. You have such a beautiful spirit. You have such a big, big heart. I feel like you want to take in all the poor. Like, there's just something about your heart that God's given you. But Lord, we just pray that Gianna would be baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would begin to show her who she is at a young age. I refuse, Lord, that she will let the world will not define her. God, I thank you that you are marking Gianna today. Today is your day. I feel like the Lord is saying he's marking you today. If you have a journal today, and I believe the Lord is going to give you dreams, and he's going to begin to speak to you in a way that you're going to know that you know that it's God. You're going to know that you know that God is speaking to you personally, not just to a preacher, but he's going to speak to you in your word and through your, and I literally see you discipling young people. Don't say I'm too young. I feel like there's kids around you that some of them are going to want to kill themselves. Some of them have no hope. Some of them feel like they're not beautiful. They're taking, even at a young age, they're depressed and they don't know it. And I feel like you're going to bring hope to them. You're just going to go up and just hug other people because you're like the pastor's heart, even at a young age. Does that make sense? And so, Lord, we ask that you would use this one for your glory in Jesus' name. More, Lord. And I just speak the Father's blessing over you. I don't know, just is your dad here? Yeah, he is here. Is that your dad? Where's your daddy? Your daddy. Daddy's here. We just speak the Father's blessing because you're going to carry the Father heart. You're not going to be one of those girls who are really insecure. You're going to have this security and people are going to go, wow, she's confident. But that's God, the Father, speaking destiny over your life at a young age. And so I just bless you. Can I just get Mary to pray for her? More, Lord. More, Lord. So if we can just all stretch our hands, if the last prayer, and I want to pray for the pastors, but if you're just hungry for the outpouring of the Spirit, just wave your hand up. Because I believe there's a deposit dropping. This house is not called to normal Christianity. This house, the Lord says, will be marked by signs and wonders and miracles. This house, wheelchairs will not be able to come into this house. This house will be a sign. And there is a river that will flow from this mountain down into this city that will deal with heroin and drug addictions. I see heroin addicts, heroin, the stronghold of heroin being broken over this region. I see young people literally out there shooting up, and they're going to be delivered instantly because of the prayers that come from this house, says the Lord. Alcoholism will be brought under subjection to the kingdom of glory. The spirit of alcoholism is running rampant in this land, and God is dealing with it. I don't know anything about this region. And this house will be marked with unity through diversity. So Lord, we pray for a spirit of revival. We pray, we cry out. You lift your voices. We cry out, Lord. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that we will no longer accept norm. We refuse to be normal. We pray that Jesus' blood, it would receive. that what your shirt says? What does it say? Release? God wants to release you today. God wants to release you today. I just have to do this, and I know. I have to do this. Because your sweater says, is it 27? Psalm 27? It talks about one thing that I desire and that one thing that I seek. That I would gaze upon the Lord and behold the beauty in His temple. And God is beginning to mark you both. Are you brothers? To release and to carry this sound. I want you two to come up because I see you guys as leaders in your generation. I feel like you guys are trailblazers. I'm telling you, you're going to release it. You're going to carry it because there's a double portion on you guys. You guys are sons of thunder. Everything you put your hands to, you know that it's blessed. Things that you desired. Listen, God is saying you cannot outdream me. You cannot outthink me. So right now, Lord, I pray that these two young men, I see you both as leaders. I feel like the Lord is saying there's an anointing on you, a favor, that, but He wants you to know Him deeper. He wants you to know not just the God of your parents, but He wants you to know that He's real. And so right now, Lord, I pray that you release an anointing on these two young men. I break off this form of godliness. I break off just even the form of religion. More, Lord. More, Lord. I see you guys coaching the next generation, especially you. You just have such a call to leadership. Do you know that? And I feel like people around you just follow you. You're just one of those likable guys, but it's not that. It's God's hand on your life, and He wants you to release you to believe who He calls you to be. He wants to release you to believe in the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to release you to be the man that He's called you to be. Are you 16? How old are you? 18. You're 18. Did something happen at 16? Did you get saved? What year did you give your life to the Lord? Are you a Christian? Okay. So what happened? Is there something that happened at 16? Nothing that you know of? It's okay. Are you? Who's 16? Any 16-year-olds in the house? Okay. Is that you? He's 16. Okay. So Lord, right now we just pray. Father, we just pray for the marking. Pray in the Spirit. We pray against the lies of the enemy. We pray against where the enemy would like to just have their way, his way with their lives. I see the Lord literally putting a cloak on you guys. You may begin to feel like a weight on your shoulders. I feel like the Lord is beginning to put a weight on your life. He separated you at 16 years old. It's like the Lord is beginning, it's a crossroad. He's beginning to separate your lives, and you will not be able to do normal, boring religion. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to see lives change. You're going to see souls saved. I'm prophesying over you now. You're going to be a world changer. I'm going to hear your name. Lord, I thank you that these young men, their names, God says you will live up to your names. What's your name?
James. Joey.
James and John? Joey, James and Joey. So Lord, we bless James and Joey. Have you guys been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You pray in tongues. Do you know you're called to lead this generation in prayer? And I just see you guys just kind of breaking some of the norm. And I even see you guys unifying people that would never ever talk. Like, you're going to break stigmas because you're not going to be those kids that just stay in your corner, but you're actually going to be those who carry, you're going to bring people together that would never, ever want to be together. And I even feel like you both are, I see you guys defending those who can't fight for themselves. You're going to be those kind of leaders. You're going to hate when you see bullying. You're going to hate when you see people being treated bad because you're going to have this huge compassion. And I don't know this too, but I don't think it's just, I think God's going to give you ideas, like business ideas at a young age. You're not just going to do sports, even though that's very much a part of it. You're going to break into other arenas in your life. You're not just going to be boxed in. And so I don't know your youth pastor here, but you need to be involved, whether it's here. I just see like there's so much in you, and unless it's let out, you're just going to be like, okay, this is boring, because you're made to move with God. Does that make sense? And so just lift your hands. Lord, I just bless their hands. Can we get some of the men to pray over them? Lord, I just bless these two young men. Psalm 27 anointing and a release to come on their lives. I even pray for the gift of dreams that you've given Will and I to be imparted. I believe you're going to begin to have prophetic dreams. I believe that the Lord is going to speak to you through studying the Bible. I believe the Bible is going to begin to become alive to you. And so I just thank you. And even your career and things with school, I just pray a favor in those areas, Lord. And I pray the Lord would set you on the track that he has for you. I don't know what you do in school, but even in that area, the Lord is going to set you, that you will ask God to lead you, just like Tim Tebow, how the Lord led. I know people make fun of the guy, but listen, he knows God. And the Lord led Tim Tebow, and I believe the Lord wants to lead you. He wants to make you a sign in this generation that something good could even come out of even some of the things that seem crazy. So, Lord, we just bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry I went over time, but we just bless you, Jesus. We thank you for this house. Lord, even now we just say, even as we close out, Lord, we say, whatever you want to do in this house, we refuse to keep you out, Holy Spirit. And we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. I'm just going to invite everybody just to stay in the presence of God, but just find your seat if you can. The anointing is still moving and is still flowing. And I believe that this service and De Havilland has been a gift to us this morning. How many of you didn't see that coming? Right? But we have just, I feel like we just had an energy drink. And the Holy Spirit has just come to say, you know what? I'm doing so much more. I have so much more planned for each of us here. You know, I shared before that De Havilland and Will have a really close place in our heart. It's not just in my son's heart, but it's in mine. It's in my mom and dad's heart. They know of their ministry. They came here before Dominic ever met them at CFNI. The passion for prayer. The passion to unite generations. The passion to unite cultures. It's who you are as Church on the North Coast. That's why we have this spirit connection. It's because the body of Christ that God has given us is so unique and such a treasure. It is part of the end time revival. I love what she said about him using all flesh. It's an all-flesh revival. And you, sitting in these pews, are the ones that are going to stand for the all-flesh part. And I want to come into agreement with what God is doing in the Ford's lives. They have many things that God's stirring in them and showing them. And they're going to be propelled out to do more in Texas and around the globe. I want to partner with what they're doing because I believe that they're going to unearth some things that the Holy Spirit started a long time ago. In the beginning of the 19th century, I believe that they're going to stir up what God started in Azusa Street. I believe that. And I want a little network of churches up here in Cleveland, Ohio, to be a part of what God is doing with the Fords. So I want to just let you have an opportunity to sow into their ministry today. And I know my husband and I are going to sow into their ministry because I want to be a part of it. I don't want to lose connection, you know. I want supernatural connection. And we know that when we sow into the work of the kingdom, we reap the benefits. We reap the benefits. I love that the waters of Wycliffe are going to be refreshed. The waters of Cleveland are going to be refreshed. And my passion, I love that the next generation is going to be used. So if you want to sow into De Havilland and Brother Will, please get your checks ready and make it to CNC, or you can take an offering envelope and pay that way, but we just want to bless them today. We want to send them off with an empowerment to do what God's called them to do, to build a bridge. Amen. So let's just pray and thank the Holy Spirit for what He's begun here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are alive and active in this room, that you are continuing to move, that you are continuing to speak, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the prophetic ministry that we received. Such a gift to us, Lord God. Now I pray, God, that our hearts would be connected. And through this gift, God, through our prayers, Lord Jesus, that we would reap, God, the benefits, Father, of what's happening around our nation in Texas, all over, the work they do overseas and throughout the nations with the intercession ministry. I just thank you, Father, that there will be growth, that there will be enough financially, God, enough buildings, Lord Jesus, enough of everything they could possibly need. Father, and I want to partner with that this morning. And I thank you for those who are giving. I thank you, God, that you are going to bless the giver this morning. And we bless you and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for pouring yourself out today. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody says amen, 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 amen. Yes, make the check out to CNC and then we'll give them a gift at the end. So Pastor Adam, would you come up and just close the service for us?
Do you know, in these amazing opportunities and times, I love to share just this one particular thing. About 8 years ago, have I known you, Jen? 8 years now? We've been kind of dating each other 8 years. Well, Jenna is like a church junkie. Like, she just loves going out. And, like, if there's, like, a worship, like, something powerful going on, like, she'll go to it, right? And she's like, well, as we're dating, she's like, let's go here, let's go there, let's go here, let's go there. I'm a pastor, but I'll be honest, I wasn't very interested. And we'd go, and I'd be, like, wearing my hoodie, trying to hide, because I knew what was going to happen. Jenna's like, oh, I just want a word from the Lord. I know I get it, but I just want it. I'm like, I don't. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I do. But it was a different situation and time in my life. So I would purposely try to hide. And I would, like, sneak out the door, and the speaker would be like, that person who just walked out the door, God has something, or whatever happened to be. Or I'd be hiding, and God would try to reach me. I'm telling you what. Jenna wanted a word, but I needed a word. Today, if one of you said, I really wanted a word today, I really wanted something, I tell you, God's already doing something. God is doing some amazing things in this place. Let me tell you, and the things that happened in my heart, in my life at that time, has put seeds in my heart that are huge and great, and I love it. I want you to understand that time was a different Adam 7 years ago, a different pastor than the person who I am now. It's awesome. You guys, I'm telling you what, when you guys came in the door, I was feeling God's presence all over you guys. It's so cool that she was like, I'm not letting you guys go, I'm talking to you. It was cool. So anyways, the last thing before I go is, all of you know I like food. I'm a food person, right? If there's a food truck, Jenna and I, we were at the Home and Garden Show. We had food trucks. We had 2 tacos, and we had 4 tacos, and pretty soon we had like 6 or 8 tacos. They were delicious. Kept going up. I love food. I love things that fill me up. So what Jenna and I are doing, we're going to the Valley View campus because there is food in this house today. There's always food, but there was a food truck. This food truck moves around, and I'm hopping on that food truck. So Jenna, we're going to go to hear her husband, not the same message, a different message, over in Valley View. So if you want to come join us, we'll save seats for you. There's plenty of seats over there. When food is around, get it. Fill up, right? I want to pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I love the anointing that is in this area. It is no mistake that this, to my knowledge, that this church is on the highest point in Wycliffe. It's not the highest point of Wycliffe for this building to be seen, but for the people who call you Jesus, to call you Lord, to see a light, to see something, to to hold on to grasp onto. Holy Spirit, as we go forth, Lord, as she has called us, if you have called us to go forth, allow your Spirit, your presence, to just shine through us so much so they don't see us, but they see you. I thank you, Jesus, for all the blessings that you have in store for us this week. Wow. I know it's not Easter yet, but I'm just kind of feeling it, that the Lord is hiding little blessings, different places for you to find throughout the week. And whether it's big or small, post it on Facebook for people to see that God loves to bless his kids. I thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you give us, seen and unseen. We love you, Jesus.